At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the BT Powerhouse podcast. As always, my name is Thomas Bennett. I'm the host of the podcast as well as manager of BT Powerhouse. We are continuing onward with our season preview series, and we've reached Minnesota, who is coming off a pretty bizarre year where the team's statistical profile suggests it was actually a pretty good season, but the overall record didn't quite match up with those statistical team measures. But to help us break them down and what fans hope is a little more successful of a season, we have Tom from the Daily Gopher. Tom, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. And before we jump into Minnesota, if I know you've been on the podcast before, but if you just want to remind people where they can check out your stuff and what you guys have going on over there, it'd be appreciated.
Sure. I write for thedailygopher.com. We've been going on for about 13 years now. And we are, you know, obviously right now we're getting pretty excited for the football season, which is finally going to happen. And we kind of like our football team. So there's a lot of football content right now. Basketball seems like it's in the distant future, although we're starting practice next week. So basketball's picking up right about the same time football starts. So after about, you know, 6 months of no contact, a lot going on for the next couple of months.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's nice after all the months without sports. So happy to be back. Happy to be back. But let's jump into it. So Minnesota last year, obviously we didn't get to see how things would have concluded given the COVID shortened season, but the Gophers, they end up finishing 15-16 overall. They did win their final game in the Big Ten tournament. They beat Northwestern in the opening day on Wednesday.
Does that make them co-Big Ten tournament champs?
I suppose, yeah. I suppose there are, what is it, a 10 or 12-way tie? I think only two teams lost on the first day there. So, yes, co-Big Ten tournament champs. They would have clinched the auto bid to the NCAA tournament, exactly. I guess. But they finished 15-16 overall. We don't get to see how it would conclude. I actually thought, I remember when we were previewing the Big Ten tournament, thought they were one of the dangerous teams that could make a big run. Again, we don't know what would have happened, but what are fans thinking sort of coming off that season heading into this year? And what are your overall thoughts just on last season?
Well, I'll start with our thoughts on last season, because it was a weird year, as you kind of said, right? I mean, it was a pretty good team, but it was a team that never really found its stride and started putting together wins. Mm-hmm. You know, Daniel Oturu in his sophomore season kind of came out of nowhere to be the best center in the Big Ten. Iowa fans probably, you know, disagree with him quite a bit, but Oturu was really good, and he's now left to be a potential first-round draft pick, maybe an early second-round pick. But when you have someone who was as talented as him and who was and had some shooters around him and had Marcus Carr, who nobody really knew much about because he didn't play the season before, and the season prior to that, he was not in our – he was in the ACC. He's pretty good too, but just they could never string things together, and it's hard to exactly pinpoint what their problem was. Or maybe it was just so long ago and so many things have happened, I don't remember what their problem was anymore. But yeah, you know, it was a weird season. So going into next season, you know, Oturu is declared NBA draft, which means you know, last season was really good and would have brought everybody back, but instead Oturu goes to the NBA. Peyton Willis, who started at the three, decides to transfer. And now you've marked again, which is kind of the way it feels like every gopher question marks, and you never know what's going to answer or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the big thing I just wanted to add as far as last season was concerned for Minnesota, and this is something I'm working on my written season previews right now. So Minnesota, I have a hunk of it done. And an interesting thing. So Minnesota, again, as I mentioned, they finished with a losing record overall in Big Ten play. They're 8-12, so 4 games below 500 in Big Ten play, but they finished 27th on KenPom. And in my head, I'm like, you know, that's crazy. You know, they're playing at a fringe top 25 level and they're below 500. You know, that's not something you see every day. You know, usually every year or two, you know, there's one of those teams that just has a really fluky year and they end up with great stats, but they don't quite have the resume to match it. And Minnesota, right, to me, is about the epitome of a team like that. And what I mean is, the schedule screwed Minnesota last year. And I know a lot of people will say everybody plays a tough schedule, especially in the Big Ten. You know, you can't excuse it. They lost the games. Yes, they lost the games. They did not have an NCAA at large resume, anything like that. But they finished with the third toughest schedule in the country, which is really wild for a Power Five conference team, because the bottom feeder teams are usually the ones that play these brutal non-conference slates because they need the money, you know, go on the road and play a big program to get the paycheck. But Minnesota finishes with the third ranked schedule and their KenPom score. So as I mentioned, they finished 27th and KenPom ranks the teams, but he also gives them an actual statistical score. So, you know, a 0 is considered like the most average team. And as you move higher, you know, plus you get better and better. The Kentucky team that was a game or two short of going undefeated a couple years back, that's the highest rated team of all time on KenPom, mm-hmm, as far as I know. Well, Minnesota finished with a plus 17.83, which probably doesn't mean much to people as they sit here listening, but here are some of the teams that score is higher than. Last year's Rutgers team, last year's Illinois team, last year's Indiana team, all three of those teams were projected to make the NCAA tournament, including Illinois, who was one game back in the Big Ten standings. So, yeah. I mean, think about that. Minnesota had a higher statistical performance last season. Illinois is almost winning a share of the Big Ten title with a lower rank. Some of the other teams, Wisconsin in 2015-16, that was the year they made the Sweet 16. That team was rated lower than Minnesota. Iowa's team, not this season with Garza, but the year, well, I guess Garza was still on the team, but the year before that, when they made the round of 32, they almost made the Sweet 16, came really close. A Maryland team, 2016-17, the Northwestern team that made the round of 32, their only NCAA tournament appearance of all time. It goes on and on, a Michigan State team that made a round of 32. But as you see, I mean, and this is just the Big Ten. I didn't even expand my search to other teams. It was a bizarre season. And the big thing for me is they had a lot of close losses. They had a brutal schedule. And somebody was always going to bite the bullet for the Big Ten being as deep as it was last year. Minnesota was absolutely a team that bit the bullet for that. When it's that good, there's no margin for error. Minnesota got beat down. This team was a lot better than what the record suggests.
Yeah.
And I think that's encouraging if you're a Minnesota fan coming into this season, because, you know, you're not starting from a below 500 level. You're actually starting from a pretty solid level, in my opinion. As you mentioned, sure, you're losing Oturu, but you know, you're not at the bottom of the pack as, you know, they were a couple of years ago with Pitino, in a lot better position. So,
so a couple of things, sure, that, right, as I recall now, part of that high KenPom ranking was a few things. One, it was a really tough schedule that mm-hmm, gets you far with KenPom. Two, I think the fact that so much ran through Oturu and he was very efficient gave them, yep, an overall highly efficient offense.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of KenPom efficiency. And thirdly, if I remember right, they, you know, KenPom has a luck factor, and we, mm-hmm, were abysmal in the luck factor. Like, we just lost so many close games and had some weird things that happened at end of games that, you know, we were, what do you say, 8-12 in the Big Ten?
Correct, yes.
And really easily could have been 10-10 and would have had, we wouldn't have been sweating the bubble.
just as you mentioned it, Minnesota was 351st in luck, which I believe is dead last.
Out of 356?
353, maybe? I'm sorry. Not quite dead last. They had the two teams below them.
So it was a weird year. Because I remember sitting and talking to you last year, because 2 years ago, they were terrible. They were bottom four in the Big Ten. And I remember saying, well, we got Carr, who I think is going to be pretty good, because I've seen him in practice. Mm-hmm. We got Oturu and Kalscher, who were coming from pretty good freshman seasons, and we just had to see how they became as sophomores. And Peyton Willis, and this might be a decently deep team. And, you know, some of those things played out. Some of those, it's again back to the question marks. Some of those questions were answered, some of them weren't, and that's why you get an 8-12 team in a conference like the Big Ten.
Absolutely. And before we move on to the next one, I just want to note this again. If I haven't argued my point enough, I need to add in one more. And so Minnesota, 15-16 last year overall. Two years ago, Minnesota went 15-17 overall. So not the year they made the tournament and the second round and lost to MSU, but the year before, as you mentioned, not a great season, 15-17 overall. They were 117th on KenPom. So nearly 100 spots lower than last year's team, which just goes to show
the same
virtually
record.
Identical record. Yeah, basically the exact same record. So it was a really weird year, as you mentioned. But of course, we're here to preview this year, though. Not last year. We'll let that one go away for Gopher fans. Won't mention it anymore. What are you mentioned Oturu? He's gone. That's the big departure everybody's going to be talking about. Anybody else that you're really, a notable departure as far as you're concerned? And then secondly, who is coming in the door that you're excited about this season for Minnesota?
Well, I'll just run through. There's three starters that we need to replace. Oturu is the big one. He was a stud. He was did he finish on any of the All-American lists? I don't remember, but he was close.
I don't think he was first team, but I think he was second team.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you lose Oturu. That's a massive blow because I kind of thought he would return, especially being a fringe first-round pick. You lose your starter at power forward, who was can't even think of the guy's name. It was the Drexel graduate transfer. He was from Greece.
Well, they're losing Demir.
Alihan Demir.
Yeah,
it was Demir. And to be honest, he power forward for this team last year was a major hole. You remember 2 years ago they had Jordan Murphy, power forward, who was an all-world stud. He leaves, they replace him with Demir, who's a completely different type of player and just never really fit into the system or never figured out how to be an asset in the system. And ultimately, power forward was a spot where we got almost no offensive production. And we got no rebounding, and defense wasn't that good either. So power forward was really quite terrible for this team last year. And then you lose your small forward, Peyton Willis. And that one's a little surprising because he was a sophomore graduate, not a graduate. He was a transfer, sat out 2 years ago, and I think he was a sophomore last year. Starter, got plenty of minutes, averaged around 10 points a game. You know, had a couple, never was the kind of guy that would go off and carry you, but also was never terrible. He was a solid, good starting caliber player. And he decides to transfer, which is weird. I still don't have my arms around what happened there, that he felt the need to leave the program.
Yeah.
There was nobody coming in where he was going to get benched likely. So now replacing those guys, replacing Willis at the small forward is going to be a little tricky. It kind of depends on if they get another waiver from the NCAA for a transfer. So a kid from Utah named Both Gok Black, I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, is played high school ball in Minnesota, small town, southern Minnesota, played 1 year of prep school, and then went to Utah, and was a pretty good player for Utah. Started some as a freshman, started most of the games as a sophomore. I think he averaged around 15 points a game, or maybe 10 or 12 points a game. Double-digit scorer, who was better in the second half of the year than the first half of the year. A little bit of a feast or famine kind of guy. So they're still waiting on word from the NCAA if he'll be immediately eligible or not. If he's eligible, he starts. He gives you a solid starting caliber small forward that might give you 20 points one night, might give you four on another. Power forward, like I said, was a huge hole last year, is Brandon Johnson, who's a graduate transfer from Western Michigan. And so he seems like, you know, and this will be 2 years in a row of a grad transfer starting at power forward. He at least seems like someone who's going to add something. Right. Alion Demir came in. We thought he was going to be a shooter and kind of crafty around the basket and just never added anything. Johnson, I think, is tough and athletic and will rebound. I think you're going to get 6, 7, 8 rebounds a game from Johnson and maybe 6, 7, 8 points a game from him. Again, he's never going to blow up and have massive games that carry you, but I think he's got some strength to play defense, and he'll rebound a little bit and give you something from that position, which will make a big difference. And then you get to center, where we lost Oturu, and in comes Liam Robbins, who is a transfer from Drake, 7-foot transfer from Drake. He has been cleared by the NCAA to be able to play right away. And he's not going to get you what you got out of Oturu, but he replaces a lot more than what we would have been able to replace had we just had to go with what was in-house. Mm-hmm. So, again, probably a double-digit scorer, a pretty good shot blocker, decent rebounder, has a little bit of touch from 10, 12 feet. So he'll be solid. You know, is he going to be one of the top 3, 4, 5 big men in the conference? Certainly not this year. But between him and Johnson at the 5 and the 4, comparing to what we had at the 5 and the 4 last year, I don't know that it's going to be a huge drop-off if you look at those two positions in total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as far as the departure goes, obviously, I mean, I think for anybody who watched Minnesota or had any exposure to them, Oturu is a massive departure. As you mentioned, he was an All-American candidate. If he wasn't the first or second team, he was certainly in consideration. Mm-hmm. One of the Big Ten's best players. He was ranked in the top 10 on KenPom in terms of his player rankings last year. So that is someone you're lucky if you get one of those guys a decade, most programs. Right. So you're not going to replace him overnight. So that's a big one. And frankly,
especially if he comes in as a 3-star recruit, right?
Yes, yes. And I think you can't even realistically hope to do it. Again, it's one of those where you just try to get somebody in there who can start, be a competent player, and you hope the whole team overall can sort of improve enough to negate some of his loss. But additionally, two other starters. Neither of those guys, I think, were high-level Big Ten players. I think they were both solid starters, referring to Willis and Demir. But you gotta replace them. Both starters there, and then Hurt as well, bench option. So you're losing a lot there on the wing, as far as returning pieces go. But as you mentioned, I think this year, you know, they're bringing in 3 new recruits. I don't love any of the recruits. I don't know how you feel about them. I'm not blown away by any of the 3, but I think they're all decent prospects that are probably the wait and see next year type of players. Mashburn, I could see him contributing a little bit in the backcourt as a reserve. But overall, I think the 3 freshmen coming in probably aren't going to play a ton this year. I think they're mainly going to be reserves if they get on the court much at all. But the transfers are significant. I think you could easily get 2, as you mentioned, 2 starters out of this group. I think Robbins is going to start for sure. I think Johnson will be in contention. And then, as you said, I think it's Gok the Utah transfer. And as anybody knows who listens to this podcast, I'm terrible at pronouncing names. So please, nobody take offense. It's like an every podcast thing. But if he ends up being eligible, which who knows what the eligibility is going to look like this year with COVID going on and everything else, but if he's eligible, he might be able to get into the starting lineup too. So, I mean, you're talking about maybe two or three guys who have serious starter potential, which is crazy for transfers. And as you mentioned, I don't think any of the three are going to be on the Big Ten, all Big Ten first team, but I think they're all capable of playing significant minutes in the Big Ten, playing starter level minutes. So I think that's a huge addition when you're losing three starters to basically bring in three starters. That would be huge for Minnesota season, and doesn't even get to the guys like Carr, as you mentioned, who I think Carr has a lot of potential here to be a star. So should be a lot of fun. In some ways, I think they have more talent than they did last year. Certainly if you exclude Aturo, they probably do. Big thing to exclude, but should be interesting. But on that front, taking a step back, we talked a little bit about the guys coming in, the guys coming out. What are the things you're most excited about to watch for this year's Gophers? And conversely, what are you most concerned about?
Well, in terms of excitement, there's not a lot on this team where you're like, yes, right? I love Amir Coffey or I love Oturu. You know, we've got some all Big Ten caliber guys. Like, I really like Marcus Carr, and I think he's one of the better Big Ten point guards. But in terms of, like, what am I really excited about? I guess the one thing maybe is I'm higher on Mashburn than you seem to be.
Okay.
I've heard that the staff really thinks this kid's going to be special.
Okay.
So what does that mean? I don't know. I agree with you. I think he's coming off the bench, but I think he might be the first guy off the bench, and he'll play the one and the two. But I think they're pretty darn excited about him. The other two freshmen, I'm maybe less excited about than you seem to be. I don't think Mitchell at power forward or the overseas guy they have coming, who's also a forward, I don't think we'll see them much at all this year. But I'm excited to see, like, this team has more depth than any Patino team since he's been here. With Trey Williams off the bench, he had a pretty solid year last year as a freshman, and he can be a quality 10 player. Mashburn, Isaiah Einan, I guess if I have to pick one thing to be excited about, I really like Einan. I talked about him last year at this point because I got to go watch a couple practices, and Einan was a true freshman a year ago coming from Germany, who's this, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", kind of depends on where you see it, guy with these long, freakish arms. He's just crazy athletic. And the practices that I saw, at times he just took over and was incredible. And then other times just disappeared. And in the season last year as it went on, he kind of got hurt and he didn't get a lot of playing time. But about the last 10 games, he started to get a lot more playing time and he started to really find his groove in the offense. And, you know, if I had to pick right now, I think he's coming off the bench playing at the three or the four. But also wouldn't surprise me at all if he's starting at the three or the four and is averaging double digits, because that guy is very exciting. And he's probably pushing 6'9", 6'10", with this wingspan and athleticism. He's just super raw. So, you know, if he starts to figure things out and things start to click for him and the game slows down, he could be a special player. But that's another one of those questions where he could be a 4 points a game guy, or he could be a 12 points a game guy. Who knows?
Absolutely. I think for me, you know, the things I'm excited about, and I should note, as far as the recruits grow, I don't want to minimize them, you know, say they're bad players, anything like that. I just think, you know, when you're thinking freshmen, you know, impact freshmen who are going to show up from day one and be able to contribute, I'm a little skeptical of these three guys being in that camp. But I do like their long-term potential. I could see them, you know, as I mentioned, bench guys 5-10 minutes this year, grow from there. It's just this year I think they're going to have relatively limited impact.
But I'll diverge with you on that, where I think the two guys, I'm not convinced they're ever going to be that they're not going to contribute much. Maybe Mitchell will eventually.
Yeah.
I don't. On the other hand, I think Mashburn might be an impact player this year.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm sure Gopher fans obviously are hoping for the best there.
Yeah.
As far as
that's
ideal. Things I'm excited about, I think the first thing to start with, if you're a Minnesota fan trying to look at the glass half full, look at that KenPom rating. This team was not, you know, a horrible team last year. The record wasn't great, but you're not starting from the bottom of the pit. So I think you got to be encouraged with that. Second, college basketball, I talk about this on almost every preview, but you got to have a star player. If you're going to win big, you got to have an all Big Ten caliber guy. And it doesn't necessarily have to be first team, but go look at the all Big Ten teams and look through the list, and it's just going to be a list of the best teams in the Big Ten. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as that. And Minnesota has a chance there with Carr. I think Carr could be a first team guy. Maybe whether he deserves it or not, we'll have to get there. But I think statistically speaking, he has a shot to get there this year. So I think you have to be excited about having a guy like that. And then the last are the new pieces coming in. And as we've talked about, you know, I don't think you're adding LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Most transfers are not going to be the top guys, because they usually don't transfer otherwise. But you're adding three potential starters, and I think that is a huge boost to a team that has a lot of rising underclassmen. You have a potential star in Carr. So, I mean, I don't want to say fill things out, but, you know, they can be complementary pieces on this team, and they can do damage. So I think that is some of the big reasons to be excited about. Conversely, the front court is gonna be a question mark. We've talked about it. You know, you're losing Oturo, who was an absolute monster, and you're certainly not going to upgrade there. So that's a concern. The fact, as we've talked about, the wing, you're basically turning over almost the entire wing to a certain degree. You're losing your two starters. You're losing a reserve player in Hurt as well. So you're going to have a lot of new faces getting real time there. Some could be transfers. Some could be, you know, some of the younger guys. You mentioned Williams trying to get more time. So I think that's a question mark. And then third, Marcus Carr, as I've said, you know, he could be a star, but he had a lot of volume last year, and the team still won 15-16. So I think if you're trying to be skeptical, that's something you look at. You know, he was kind of already there, and, you know, the team didn't achieve its long-term goals. But
right.
What's
Marcus Carr going to do without a guy like Oturo dump it off to?
That's the concern. I mean, losing a guy like that, sometimes teams sort of rise up without him. You know, everybody picks it up a little bit, but other times, you know, they nosedive. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I like I said, if you just put Oturo to the side, I think this group is talented, more experienced, and deeper than last year's group. As you mentioned, this might be the deepest team Patino's had at Minnesota. But you know, we also need to note that the guy we're putting to the side is an All-American caliber player who has a huge impact on the court. So it's easier said than done. But I do think there's enough here, though, to be successful. There's enough to make an NCAA tournament if things go well. So it should be interesting. On that front, I'd normally ask you, you know, about who you thought would be the team's best player. I think we're probably both in the same vein here, that it's probably going to be Carr, and that's a pretty easy pick. Additionally, I would ask you about the schedule, but nobody has any idea what's going to happen on that front. We have no schedule yet. We really have no games, so it would kind of be a fool's errand to try to get into that. But as far as the lineup goes, you know, we've speculated, you know, who might be in there, who might not. Do you have a projection right now on what you think the starting lineup might look like?
Yeah, I think it's Well, pretty clearly you're going to have Carr at the point and Kalischer at the two. We haven't talked about Kalischer much, but he had a really strong freshman season, was a great shooter. He's an elite defender. He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the Big Ten. And he struggled mightily shooting as a sophomore. And some of that, I think, was what we talked about a year ago, where as a freshman, teams weren't keying on him because they had Amir Coffey and Jordan Murphy. And so he was able to get open, spot up, and drain threes. And he wasn't able to do that as much as a sophomore because teams were keying on him. So his progression and him being able to sort of return to, you know, shooting 5 points higher than his percentage was as a sophomore, he becomes a pretty strong two. The three is where I'm not sure what happens. I think it's going to be Gok if he's eligible. It could be Trey Williams if they choose to go small. It could be Isaiah Einen if they choose to go big. Or it depends on Williams or Einen how much they progress. I don't know. The three seems to be the biggest question mark. My guess is it will be Gok, and I think he'll get his waiver. The four will be probably Brandon Johnson, the transfer. Also, it could be Einen at the four. And Liam Robbins will be your starter at the center.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in agreement here as far as my predictions. I think the backcourt is pretty obvious, barring somebody just really surprising. I mean, if Johnson comes in and is the second coming or something, that might shake things up. But I think the backcourt is going to be just like it was last year, Kalischer and Carr. And I'm happy you pointed that out, where Kalischer regressed a little bit as a sophomore. You're hoping he gets back to the freshman form, but he has a lot of upside there if he can hit the ground running. Up front, I think Robbins is a clear pick at center. That's the reason they brought him in, was to start immediately. He's going to get a lot of time there. And I think on the wing, I think Gok is probably, he will start if he's eligible. The question, of course, is, you know, how that works out. None of us have any idea. I kind of like Einen to start at the four. And I think it's not going to be a typical starter thing, because I think he will split minutes heavily with Johnson, regardless of what happens. Same with Trey Williams. They're all going to get time there. Nobody's going to dominate the 3 or 4 minutes. It will be a mix. Even Gok will probably play a reserve role in the backcourt too, if needed. So there's going to be a lot of different faces rotating out through there. And I think that's probably a good thing for where this roster is. So it should be intriguing. But with that, get to the point, you know, everybody loves, which are season predictions. And I realize we don't have a schedule, so I'm not going to ask you to, you know, go up and down and wins and losses. But what are your general thoughts on this season? You know, if there is a postseason, do you think Minnesota makes it? And if so, what tournament?
I think this is, like I said, this is almost answering an earlier question now, but like, this team is deeper. This team's going to be a better rebounding team. And if Kalischer comes around a little bit, it's probably a better shooting team. So I think it's a solid team. I think it's, if Gok is eligible, I kind of think worst case scenario, this is a bubble team. It's just a solid team. It's not going to be a top four in the Big Ten. It's certainly not going to be in the bottom five in the Big Ten. I think it's going to be squarely in the middle of the conference, stuck on the bubble, like we are frequently. and I think, you know, if I'm optimistic, they make the tournament. And they're the kind of team that could, you know, win a game or two in the tournament. If I'm pessimistic, I think they're, we're talking about the bubble, but they're falling short.
Mm-hmm. I think
all in all, it's a pretty typical Minnesota season.
I think from my perspective, you know, if you put a gun to my head, I'm probably going to say I think they missed the tournament, but I do think it's a lot closer than it was last year. Although, again, we don't know what would have happened. Who knows? They might have won out in the Big Ten tournament, as you mentioned. No. Co-champs, you know, whatever. Well, who knows? Maybe. I think
you never know. Sure.
they beat Wisconsin last year, didn't they? Yeah, yeah, they beat Wisconsin. I think they were on the top half of the bracket, so I think they would have played them. So can't rule it out if you've already beaten a team, but it's I think as of now, I would pick them to come up short. I think they're going to be closer to the picture than they were last year in terms of wins and losses, because I think the schedule, I think the Big Ten is going to be very, very deep again, but I think it's going to be much more top heavy than it was this time. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a three, maybe even four teams in top 10, top 12 level, and then I think there's going to be a big drop after that, which I think it will make it much easier for teams in the middle than having, you know, half your league, you know, 10 teams in the top 30 or 40 nationally. So I think that will lead to a better record. Unfortunately, I'm concerned about what we talked about it as far as Carr. I think he's going to be very productive. I think he's going to be a volume scorer. I think he's going to be dominating the offensive possessions. Unfortunately, he's going to need somebody to play off of, and I'm not sure who the number two guy is going to be right now. Kelscher maybe can do it. Maybe one of the transfers can. We'll have to see, but that's going to be a big part. He's going to need that change up, you know, somebody else who can sort of tear apart defenses when they key in on Carr. So that's what
I don't think they have a two.
Yeah, and that's kind of my concern, but you know, we'll see. We've seen teams with far less talent than this do a lot of damage, so it should be fun. But again, Tom, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, if you want to plug again what's going on over at the Daily Gopher, where people can check you out, and what to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Yeah, come check us out, thedailygopher.com. We're, again, it's heavy into football right now because we're pretty excited about our football team, and basketball appears to be pretty mediocre. But we're excited about the season. Very excited that college sports will be returning for Big Ten people.
Absolutely, yeah. Amen to that. And as a Michigan alum, let me say go blue for next weekend. I don't know when this will post, this preview, but I'm very much looking forward to the opener between Minnesota and Michigan and on the football field. And, of course, chatting basketball tonight. But thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. And for everybody listening, thanks again for checking us out. We got our top 25 player countdown going. We have listed at least one Minnesota player. I know there's another one coming here. So make sure to check out the site daily for those updates and plenty more. Our season preview written series should be coming here in the next couple of weeks. So everybody check that out. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.